Have you ever had an out-of-body experience? If you have, well, you know what it is. If you haven't, we'll stick around. We're going to talk about it. The Hammer of Mysticism with Marilyn Hughes next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Our special guest tonight, Marilyn Hughes, had a long-standing career in broadcasting as a news anchor, reporter, producer, and then she founded the Out of Body Travel Foundation in 2003 and has experienced research written and taught about out-of-body travel since 1987. She has been on the subject of the scientific study of out-of-body experiences and a subject in several other research studies. Her latest book, The Hammer of Mysticism. Marilyn, welcome back.
Thank you, George. It's great to be back.
Has it really been almost 10 years since you were on the show?
I guess it's time for us to check in with one another.
I think so. How have you been?
I've been great. How are you doing?
Good. Now, tell us how an experienced newscaster got interested in out-of-body travel.
Well, you know, it happened because I just started having the experiences early on, and it was spontaneous at first, and it just became more like, ironically, as a reporter, you're reporting on other things, and I kind of started reporting on otherworldly adventures, I guess you would say.
Well, and you did, and now, while you were working as a newscaster, were you having these OBEs too?
I was. It started very early on. I was about 22 when I had the first experience. And so I was working in news for quite a while after that. I think it was about eight more years before I decided to go into following this full time.
Was it induced or did it just happen to you?
It just happened to me at first. But over time, I started learning, you know, ways to increase the likelihood of the experience. But the first time was pretty unexpected, I'd say.
The Hammer of Mysticism. Tell me about the title.
Okay, The Hammer of Mysticism. You know, when you're looking at your toolbox and you've got a hammer, it's an essential tool. That's what this is all about. It's an encyclopedic journey into out-of-body travel, mystical processes, and terms. And so it's your essential tool into out-of-body experiences. It covers so many things in terms of all the different energetic requirements and needs and different stages in the journey, as well as all the kinds of different things you're going to run into in the out-of-body travel path. So it's like your essential tool to get started and to keep going.
Did you ever investigate the Monroe Institute, the late Robert Monroe, one of the best when it came to out-of-body travel?
Oh, absolutely. I loved Robert Monroe, and I read all his books. And my first publisher, they were personal friends of his. And so I love the Monroe Institute.
Yeah, he was a giant in this field.
Oh, yes. Yes, he's still a giant.
Wherever he may be, right?
That's right. Yes.
You talk a lot about being in the vibrational state. Why is that important?
The vibrational state is something that I think is misunderstood. We, you know, a lot of people hear about how you go into the vibrational state because you're that's one of the steps along the way to an out-of-body experience. But the thing that's so important to know about vibration is that vibration determines everything in the mystical realms. And so, you know, as human beings in our physical materialistic bodies, we are much more connected to a material vibration. When you hear about the vibration that you experience before having an out-of-body experience, what's happening is you are detaching from the physical vibration of your physical body and entering into the spiritual vibration of your spirit, because you have to raise that vibration up before your spirit will leave the body. And what's going to happen as you progress down the out-of-body travel path is that the vibrational experience becomes key to everything. So you're going to be having vibrational raisings, which are these very, very power-filled experiences where it's like these vibrations are being revved just a little bit higher. And as you're going through these things, you can almost certainly expect that you're on the verge of a breakthrough, because what's happening is they're lifting your vibration so that you can be taken to a higher sphere. And so then when you start understanding vibration in terms of knowledge, it becomes even more important because vibration is knowledge in the spiritual realm. So what we can comprehend, understand, and know is encompassed in the level of the vibration within our spiritual body. And so the whole key to all of this out-of-body experience, but also the attainment of knowledge, then becomes the bringing of our very materialistic worldly vibration to a higher level and higher so that we can go into higher and higher realms of knowledge and into higher and higher spheres where we learn more and become more and are able to do more.
I had an out-of-body experience, Marilyn, when I was 11 years old. I didn't plan it. It was just one of those things. I woke up bouncing on the ceiling, looking down at my 11-year-old body, and once I realized this is not a dream, slammed me right back down again. And that was it. That was the only time I've been able to have an OBE. I've tried, but I just, for some reason, I can't. I don't know. What am I doing wrong?
Well, you know, ironically, what you just described is one of the big common problems that people run into, and it's actually discussed in the Hammer of Mysticism. And, you know, the Hammer of Mysticism is one of a series of 9 books on how to have out-of-body experiences. It's the 4th book in a series of 9. But what you described is the situation and the sensation that when you are suddenly startled or excited or just, you know, scared, a lot of people have a fear reaction.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You will suddenly shoot back to your body. So, like, for instance, I had an experience, well, I had a lot of experiences like this, but in the beginning especially, you know, like I would see a deceased friend and I'd be so excited, like, oh my gosh, it's really you. And then all of a sudden, poof, you know. And so one of the things that we discuss in the Hammer of Mysticism is how you discipline your thoughts and discipline your spiritual consciousness so that when it happens, you're going to be more prepared to pull that energy back so that you can allow yourself to have that experience. Because any excited reaction, scared, fearful reaction, sometimes even just overwhelming joy can, you know, can send you right back to your body.
Yep.
So there's a disciplinary practice in there that helps us to be able to take it a little further.
I've come close to doing it again, but just when I think I'm ready, it pulls me back down again. So I just got to get to that next level, and then I think I'll be okay.
Yeah, and a lot of the process, you know, is a lot of preparation. It's thinking about how you can create an atmosphere around yourself and in your world that is continuous and contiguous for spiritual experience. So you want to be creating an environment around you that allows you to lift up from the material world. And the Hammer of Mysticism goes into a lot of details on that.
It sure does. Now tell me why you think OBEs, out-of-body experiences, are important to people.
They're very important because, ironically, I think this is one of the hardest things for people to understand, because there has been so much that's gone on where people do a lot of more experimental stuff, like, you know, okay, I'm going to see if I can go see what's going on in someone's house and if they can verify that I was there and that I saw that. Those kinds of things are useful, but what really out-of-body experiences are about are the purification and the evolution of the soul. When I had my first experience, I remember thinking, wow, I can't believe this. The world is so much bigger, you know, than I could have possibly realized. And now, you know, like 30 years later, thousands of experiences later, it's like the universe is so much more infinite than I could possibly have imagined. Because what's happening is you're being taken to higher and higher spheres of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So in these out-of-body experiences, it doesn't just stay stable in one location. You're going to be going through these experiences that are going to guide you towards your guardian angels, towards information about your past lives, towards information about your extraterrestrial alliances. That's a big part of out-of-body experiences. And also the things in your life that you need to accomplish or overcome, you know, because we are here in what I call the mortal realms. It's the 3rd and 4th realms. And in these realms, we deal with the battles between good and evil within ourselves and all around us. And that's the nature of this realm. if we do not do that while we're here, then we're kind of wasting some time, you know? So what happens in these out-of-body experiences is it accelerates that process. It brings us face-to-face with what's really going on in our soul and the real reason that we incarnated here again, and what do we need to see and overcome and alter to be concluded here.
How close are OBEs to remote viewing, in your opinion?
Well, remote viewing is, I think there's a lot of similarities. There's a lot of similarities. But remote viewing is a little bit more in the psychic realm. You know, what they're practicing is more of a psychic exercise that is very, very disciplined, and it's really amazing what they're able to do, but it is different. Because out-of-body travel is an actual experience where you're actually separating from your body. Your body is unconscious, and your spirit remains conscious, and your spirit is traveling to these other realms. And so it is different in that way.
What is eternal law?
Well, ironically, you know, there's a higher law than the laws of this world. And
That's true. I'm glad.
Yes, yeah. And when you start traveling mystically, and ironically, this is one of the things that the Hammer of Mysticism does cover quite a bit, is eternal law, which is there are rules of the, you know, rules of the realms, so to speak, you know, and these are very, very serious rules. And so these are these laws, we learn them as we are traveling through the myriad realms. And it becomes like something that compounds upon itself. But these are higher laws that we have to operate by. And if we don't, there are serious consequences. You know, the gift of out-of-body travel and the gift of certain knowledge, it can all be stripped from us if we misuse it. And so understanding that there is an eternal law and that we want to follow that to the T is really important. Because you can really run into some problems if you don't. And, you know, you don't want to worry about it, because if you go down this path, you're going to be taught. It's going to be something that is going to be shown to you. And, of course, you can read through lots of my books. I have a lot of books on this subject and learn a lot about that even before you get there. But you're going to be taught. So you don't want to worry about it or stress about it, but you want to be aware. You know, we don't want to violate anything that's going to affect the evolution of any other individual or creature or being. We want to make sure that we are working in harmony with the will and the movement of God.
Do you find that people who can practice OBEs in tapping into this realm are a little more, I don't want to say smarter than others in real life, but they're more tuned in?
Well, you know, I think they're more tuned in. I think that there's like a different way that, you know, we might be connected a little differently, because that is definitely something that I've seen. Because, you know, we all have our different callings in this world. And some of us, the callings that we have, which are of equal and very important importance, you know, some of our callings that people have require them to be a little bit more attached to the material world, and some of the callings that we have require different levels of that. And what I have seen and noticed is that people who are more prone to this, where it's a little easier for them or more natural, I think we're almost kind of wired a little differently. We're not really operating from the material world as a general rule. There's always a multidimensional awareness that is encompassing us, even as we're just walking through daily life. So it's a different way of seeing things, and I think it's kind of the way we were created and geared to make us more able to do this.
Marilyn, do you look at other aspects of all of this, because it's all tied together, the ability of consciousness, reincarnation, just about all of this? Is it all tied together?
Absolutely. It is all tied together. And, you know, one of the, you can do, people can go to my website at outofbodytravel.org, and all of our books are available for free download. So So I encourage everyone
That's
to go there
good.
and download those books. But you can learn how all of this comes together by reading through whichever books on the site you'd like to read. There's a lot of books available. I've written a lot on this subject, but absolutely, reincarnation, the extraterrestrials, out-of-body experiences, near-death experiences, all of it, it's all tied together.
Where do ghosts, souls, where do they all fit in?
Well, you know, I think one of the things that people misunderstand about ghosts is that most of them are lost souls or wandering spirits. And then the thing that we misunderstand about lost souls and wandering spirits is that they're all just people who died.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we forget is that we have a responsibility to them to help them because they're lost. Now, what happens with the lost souls and the wandering spirits? A lot of times these are people who either died very suddenly. A lot of times it's accidents, things like that. But it's also people who may not have had any spiritual training in their life. They may have never had any inclination that way, so maybe they don't believe that there's anything after, and suddenly they're slipped from their body and they don't even realize they've died. They don't know what's going on. And then what happens? We go back to vibration. What happens when someone believes nothing is coming after this, when someone is that material world limitation, their vibration is lower than it needs to be in order for them to receive the guidance from their guardian angels and from all the spirits of their family and friends who would be around them trying to reach them. And so, like many of us who do experience out-of-body travel, are called to go in and work with those people. We come in, we talk to them in the spirit. We explain to them that they have died. We explain to them a few things about the light and the things that they're going to need to look for. And we're helping them to raise their vibration just a little bit so that their guardian angels and their other helpers and teachers and stuff can help them from there so they can kind of take it. But what makes it so important is that we forget that, you know, ghosts are just people. They're people who died who are in need of assistance, and we need to never forget that.
And they haven't moved on, right?
Right, they haven't moved on. A lot of times they're stuck in like a circular thing where they're actually playing over a certain moment in their life that was really either traumatic or a moment that was they just hold on to because it was so beautiful to them. But they don't realize that they need to move forward, and so they get stuck. And part of the reason they get stuck is because they are unwilling to change that vibration so that they can actually see that there is a path forward. So they just get stuck in the past. And so we have to remember, it's just like a brother and a sister who need help. We need to look at them differently. You know, we see a lot of things that are done with the ghosts and stuff. And a lot of times it's a little bit of playing around. You know, it's kind of like the same thing with the experiments into out-of-body travel.
Hold on for a second, Marilyn. We'll come back and talk more about this. Plus, I want to talk about the power of prayer. Next hour, we'll take phone calls with you. Well, for those of you who like YouTube, we have our own official YouTube channel. Go take a look. I think you'll have some fun with it. Just click the YouTube icon at the top of coasttocoastam.com. It's free to subscribe. Or just go to YouTube, and when you are in the search bar, put in Coast to Coast AM Official. Got to do it that way for it to pop up. But have some fun with it, and it's really, really growing. We're having fun with that. And welcome back to Coast. Marilyn Hughes with us. We'll take calls with her next hour. The Hammer of Mysticism is her latest work. It's a series of books, of course. Marilyn, let's talk about the power of prayer for a moment. You believe it works. I believe it works. Why does it work?
It works because what we're doing when we pray, besides all the other reasons, is, you know, we're sending out beneficent energy towards someone or towards a situation or event. And so whenever we are focusing energy on something positive or for the good, that's going to make a huge difference. In the mystical realms, prayer is seen as like lightning bolts going from the earth to the sky. You know, when you're given the opportunity to witness it, it's like you look at a huge horizon and there's hundreds of these lightning bolts going from the earth to the sky. It's very, very powerful. And the other thing about it, too, is that we don't realize how much grace comes down to us in these times of prayer. And in the mystical states, in the out-of-body travel states, you will see this, where you can actually witness what types of energy are actually coming upon people for their actions, whether it's prayer or doing something else of a, you know, of a beneficent nature. But, you know, when you're looking at how energy operates, if you're sending out stuff that's not positive or not great, that's obviously going to create a funnel of nasty energy. Whereas when you're sending out prayer, it's a beautiful stream of light.
Well, it may be a beautiful stream of light, but in order to tap into that realm, that prayer realm, do you have to be spiritual?
I think that prayer, as with anything else, like out-of-body experiences as well, is something that you practice. So I think it's important, if you're so inclined, to just go ahead and do it and not worry about whether or not it's spiritual enough yet, you know, because we do things until we know that they all of a sudden become more meaningful. So sometimes we just take up a practice, and then later on we start understanding it better, or it becomes more of a something we understand. But again, going back to the light, when you're sending out streams of light, we're going back to vibration, which we talked about before, which is when you're sending that light, you are actually working on other souls to bring up that vibration within them. They may not be aware of it. It may be subconscious or unconscious, but that's what's happening. And so all these things are very, very visible when you're out of the body.
When we were talking before the break, we were talking about lost souls and ghosts that somehow seem to wander around, not knowing if they're dead or alive. How do you get to them? How do you reach them?
Well, in the mystical state, when you go out of body, you'll be taken into a situation, and usually these things are all directed by, you know, by eternal law, and so you're taken into a situation which has been determined by a higher, you know, authority that you're going to go help with this. And what happens is, because you are still attached to a physical body, you have the type of vibration that they can recognize and still see. So a lot of times you're going to sit down and talk to them. In a lot of different cases, they're going to be acting out. You're going to like enter into this play that they're acting out. For instance, I'll give you not a very nice example, but in some of the cases, like where you have mass shootings, you may have situations where they're reliving this scene over and over again, and you're going to go into that scene, and you're going to literally take them by the hand and pull them out and explain to them what's happened. And then you're going to talk to them about how they really are still alive after death. You start there, because a lot of times they don't believe that that's possible. A lot of times they're replaying it because they really just think they're still, you know, doing the same thing over and over again. And then you're going to talk to them about their guardian angels. You're going to talk to them about the light. You're going to talk to them about how it's really important that they open up to receive the guidance that they need, and that right now they're closed off. You know, you can see this even in the crown chakra, in the third eye chakra, where it will literally just be blocked off. They cannot, and so you're trying to open it. And as you communicate with them, those things start to light up. And as that happens, eventually what happens is, usually quite a few angels will come in and take them. It's very beautiful when that happens. And there's just this wave of absolute relief and joy and bliss and unconditional love. And, you know, the things that you experience in the out-of-body states are just so phenomenally greater than what we experience in the material world. But that's what you're going to be doing, is guiding them, and you're guiding them through the various, you know, the various traumas that they've been through. So, I mean, there's a million different kinds of different cases of how that plays out, depending on how the person died. You know what I mean?
Marilyn, with prayer, if you're praying for somebody and they don't believe it or accept it, will it still work?
Generally, it's, well, generally, it's always good to be praying for somebody. There are cases, and I'll tell you, I had this happen in one instance. So, you know, for the last 30, 40 years, I've had this in one instance where I was told that it was a waste of time to continue. And that was simply because this person was not receiving any of the energy, so it became wasted energy. But generally, the way things work in the eternal is even if you're putting out prayer for someone who's refusing to receive it, it's going to go to someone else. So it's never wasted. You know what I'm saying? So when it's, you never waste it. Generally, it's never a bad thing to pray for somebody, but there are times when you may be asked to pull back because of, you know, a decision, an unconscious decision sometimes a very conscious decision of someone who's gone a different path and it's just no longer fruitful at that time. That doesn't mean it won't change, you know what I mean, down the road. But, you know, so, yeah, I mean, that's how it works.
Well, we know it does work, that's for sure. But I'm just wondering, I've always wondered if somebody is so resistant to it, if it'll work for them. A non-believer, basically.
Well, it's gonna depend on each individual non-believer. There are a lot of people in that boat, and there's such a wide variety of what their receptivity is. There will be some that will receive it with open arms, and then there's going to be people on the opposite end of the spectrum who won't receive it at all, and in fact may receive it very hostily, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be anywhere in between that entire spectrum.
We're talking with Marilyn Hughes. Her latest book is called The Hammer of Mysticism. She's also written books on out-of-body experiences as well. How do you leave your body? What the ways of meditating do you do?
Well, I really prefer mindfulness meditation, but I do engage in a lot of prayer, and I also do a lot of meditation that is just for the purpose of emptying, to make room to be receiving input. I utilize a lot of practices like Catholic practices, like the Divine Office, the Holy Rosary. These are all meditative prayers that are very efficacious, and I see that in the mystical realms. I've talked before about the Chaplet of the Divine Mercy, which is very powerful, and it's something that we pray for those who have crossed over. In the Catholic Church, there's also the Office of the Dead. And so I have a pretty strong prayer ministry to those who have crossed over, because a lot of what I do is escorting people through their afterlife journeys. So I do a lot with the Office of the Dead and with the prayers that are meant to help people as they progress on that afterlife journey.
And do you reach them? Does it work for them?
Yes, absolutely. Most of the souls that I work with in the afterlife, I will work with them for 2 or 3 years after their crossing. And so I will see them sometimes hundreds of times, sometimes tens of times, depending on the situation. I do see a lot of suicides.
Oh,
so I work with a lot of suicides. And, you know, it is amazing to see what happens. There was a soul who literally was in such a terrible place when he crossed over that I believed it had to be hell. And that was just a few years ago. Now he's traveling in some of the higher spheres. So he went through a great, beautiful purification. It took a lot of effort, a lot of prayer for this person. He had a lot of debt, a lot of karma that he had accumulated from the time of his death. There was a lot of stuff around it. But it shows you the incredible mercy of God. You know, one of the things that I think is really important for people to understand is one of the things I've seen, and I've talked about this a lot because it's something people really need to know. You know, one of my ministries in the out-of-body travel state is I'm taken into hell realms, purgatorial realms, and I go into heavenly realms. But I'm taken into these places when souls are reaching out to God for help to ascend higher. And what I have seen without fail is that the very second that a soul cries out for help, God sends aid that very second. It's a very powerful thing to witness. It shows this amazing, amazing response and mercy of God. And I think it's just really important that people realize that no matter what situation they may be in, that's all it takes. One moment of saying, okay, God, you know, and it's just amazing to see. Literally, the heavens move.
Do you have to protect yourself from outside of evil forces that might be able to get to you?
Absolutely. And so there's a lot that goes into that. But, you know, ironically, there are certain hell realms that if you go into them, they're so contaminated and so bad that you literally, in the out-of-body travel state, have to go in the realm, complete your task, and then knowing that you are going to go through a mystical exorcism in the out-of-body travel state after doing the task. Because you can't return to your body unless you do, because it is such a contaminated realm. There are so many things in place and so many things that you have to learn. There was a point in my journey, I wrote about it in The Mysteries of the Redemption, where the Blessed Virgin came to me and said, it's time for you to learn about the dark side. And, you know, when I first started having the out-of-body experiences, I experienced a lot of the beautiful and wonderful and unconditional love of God and the knowing everything that, you know, the mind of God, having those experiences. And then all of a sudden they're telling me I had to deal with that. Wasn't thrilled, didn't really want to go down that road and deal with it. But it becomes such an important part of the journey, because this is actually the manner in which we can, as souls, give back to creation what creation has given to us. Because when we are evolving through these experiences and having all of these assistance from higher realms than ours, we must remember that we must also give back to those who are struggling below where we are, because of course that's how we got here, because we got a lot of help. And so that's kind of how creation moves. We want to remember we're always giving and receiving. And that's part of why we do these things, but there's a real beauty in it, even though, you know, when I remember how horrified I was when I started the journey, and I was like, oh gosh, I really don't know that I really want to deal with this. But, you know, now, decades later, I can't imagine not, because this is where true healing happens. This is where souls are truly regenerated. This is where lives are completely altered towards the good. And so you see that despite the discomfort of having to, you know, look evil in the face or look darkness or just things that are difficult to look at, you see that the path is there to return to God, and that it's a beautiful journey, and you're going to be blown away by the results a few years later. And so, yes, you know, the prayers that people offer for those who have crossed over, It's an energy that you are offering to them for that walking forward. It's a very important part of it. It actually helps to energize those of us who are called to go in and help walk that journey with them and help them to get through some of these really difficult purifications that they're going to go through. It's absolutely vital and essential. People, if they really had the chance, I wish people could see what it looks like in the mystical realms when you are out of your body and you see prayer. Because if they could see it, people would be praying all the time.
There was a out-of-body experiencer from years ago. His name was Sylvan Muldoon. I don't know if you ever read his works.
I've heard of him, yes.
He would say that there were different levels on the astral plane, and that there were some levels you didn't want to wait around and look at, because they were almost hell-like. Did
Absolutely.
You ever experience that?
Oh, yes. This is one of the things that I think sometimes people misunderstand also about out-of-body experiences. You know, there's a difference between out-of-body travel and astral travel, and this is it. The astral realm is the realm that overlaps the Earth and other third-dimensional realms, other mortal realms. So third and fourth dimensional existence is all mortal, which is all related to this battle between good and evil that occurs within our souls and around us and all around us. So
hold on, Marilyn. Let's come back. We'll finish that statement, and then we'll take calls next.